There's been a lot of talk lately by U.S. politicians, both Democrats and Republicans, about the growing gap between America's super-rich and everyone else. Now a new study again confirms what many economists and Occupy Wall Street activists have been saying for years, that incomes have become so lopsided that in some states, all the income gained since the start of the economic recovery in 2009 have gone to the top 1%. That's why for many Americans it doesn't feel like a recovery at all. The report published by the Economic Policy Institute titled The Increasingly Unequal States of America examined federal tax data from each of the 50 states. The research was led by Estelle Sommelier, a socioeconomist from France, and Mark Price, a labor economist at the Keystone Research Center in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Among other findings, the report found that since 1979, almost every state in America has witnessed more growth in income for the top 1% than for the bottom 99%. In 18 states, the study observed, the income of the bottom 99% actually fell between 2009 and 2012, the last year for which there is data. New York and California were among those states that saw the incomes of the bottom 99% decline. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhu spoke with Mark Price, one of the authors of the new study. Here he explains why there are both short and long-term factors at work in these trends, and why he finds hope in the demand by low-wage workers for a $15 hourly wage.
The main finding of the report is that over the course of this economic recovery, in 39 states in the U.S., the top 1% have accounted for half or more of income growth. In fact, in 18 states, only the incomes of the top 1% grew. And those states include places like Pennsylvania, California, Connecticut, Washington, Nevada.
Can you say any reasons why specific states are worse off than others?
Well, there are states like Pennsylvania, which have had very weak job growth relative to the rest of the country over this period. So that certainly it was a factor in the fact that the incomes of the bottom 99% actually fell in that state. But there are also states in there like California and Nevada, two states that to some degree have struggled a little bit because they really were the epicenter of the housing bubble. So, you know, they've had a longer period to have to climb back from what was really a deep recession. The short-term trends are very troubling because they show how lopsided growth has been. But when you look back over the last few recoveries, and this is true across the states, you know, it's worse in some, better in others, but really what we are observing across the country is a rising share of income growth being accounted for by that tiny fraction of households and families right at the top of the income distribution, and that is pretty startling.
Mark Price, what explains this trend?
Certainly one of the factors explaining why the economy has performed so poorly for the bottom 99% over the last 30 years is just the fact that we've been sort of tortured by these very slow recoveries, where especially public policy, you know, officials, Congress and the president haven't done enough to help push the economy back to full employment quickly, and that has really sort of hampered the growth in earnings for most people. But there are also other factors, I think, at play across the states. Well, among them, you know, the minimum wage today has a lot less purchasing power than it used to. Relative to 1979, the minimum wage has 17% less purchasing power, and that's a big hit for workers at the bottom. We know that that's one of the more important factors why sort of the bottom 20% of workers today are worse off than they were in 1979. So that's certainly one factor that helps explain this very uneven trend in income growth. Another factor is, of course, that folks in the middle haven't exactly done terribly well either. Middle-class families, when they've seen growth, it's been pretty small in their earnings over time. And in fact, you know, they've really sort of been treading water over the course of the last decade. One of the problems there, of course, is that unions are less important in the economy today than they used to be. There was an era when unions represented roughly one out of every three workers in the U.S. economy. Today, that number, especially if you're thinking about the private sector, is well below 10%, and that really has sapped a lot of the ability for middle-class families to see rising growth in the economy, which we've experienced over the last three decades. This economy has been growing. It's generating a lot of wealth and income. but that income and wealth is not showing up in people's paychecks.
What do you think of efforts to raise the minimum wage at the federal or state levels? And what about these very grassroots movements for $15 an hour?
Yeah, I think the grassroots movement to raise the minimum wage that has sprung up in, you know, cities across the country, in many states, I think that's in response to sort of frustration that federal policymakers, you know, because the federal minimum wage is set by Congress and the president, and they haven't been able to resolve to raise it as often as they used to and by as much. And that's why the minimum wage has lost purchasing power. So I think that frustration with federal inaction has generated a lot of effort at the state level and at the city level in many, many states to try to fill the gap that's been left by the federal government's inability to raise the minimum wage further. And so I think that's a positive thing. It's, you know, people sort of getting organized and trying to shape the economy. And I think that's quite hopeful, right? Because these trends in income are very scary in a way, because we're now returning to a level of inequality, at least if we're talking about the share of income that is earned by the top 1%. It's quite similar to what it was at its previous peak, which was back in 1928, just before the Great Depression.
That was Mark Price, a labor economist with the Keystone Research Center and co-author of the report titled The Increasingly Unequal States of America. Find a link to the study and related articles by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.